Well, good evening, everyone, and a very Merry Christmas to you. This is the Warrior Catholic Show, and I'm your host, Chris Ricketts. And tonight is a very special night because it's the very first episode that I am broadcasting as a part of Conservative Nation Radio. We've teamed up with a great group of folks who do there's a different show every day of the week, and it is absolutely awesome to be a part of this, so I'm very appreciative of that. Again, a Merry Christmas to you, and I wanted to do a Christmas reflections episode a little bit, but I know it's the day after December 25th, but it is the Christmas season, and although all the department stores and the radio stations would have you think otherwise, I've been hearing Christmas music since, October, but now that it's the day after, everything goes back to normal, but we are in the Christmas season. Christ is born, and it is a beautiful thing, and so I hope you've all had a wonderful Christmas day with family and friends, or whatever it is that you may have been doing. I hope it was blessed and that we can bring in this new year with the hope and the peace of Christ. So tonight's show is all about Christmas, and I want to hear from you. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. I want to hear your stories about Christmas, things that may have happened to you, a Christmas miracle maybe, or just a sense of peace you may have had or a good time you've had with a family. So please call in at any point, and I really want to hear from you. So Christmas is pretty much one of my absolute favorite holidays. I know Easter is a good one too. That whole resurrection thing is pretty powerful. But I have a special place in my heart for Christmas because I think it's so beautiful, and I want to share some of that with you tonight. So as a part of Conservative Nation Radio now, all those listeners, this is the Warrior Catholic Show, and the Warrior Catholic is not title. It's not describing me. I'm calling all Catholics here. We need to stand up for religious freedom. We need to stand up for our faith now and take it seriously and try to gain a deeper understanding of the teachings of the church because they're good, they're wholesome, they're beautiful, and they're true. It's a call to a better life, a call to peace. It has nothing to do with I'm better than you or the church is better than you. It is the fully deposited faith of Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit, calling us all to a path towards peace. And that's what Christmas is. It's a time of peace in my mind. And I want to share with you my absolute favorite Bible verse. Yes, I'm going to read the Bible. Oh my gosh. But bear with me now. Bear with me. It's Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. It's the announcement of the birth of Jesus. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, favored one! The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Now, what could be more beautiful than that? Here's this teenage girl who would have passed into history without so much as a mention of her name. She would have been forgotten otherwise. She was just a Jewish girl living in a small town, going about her daily life. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this angel shows up and says, "Hey, guess what? You're going to have the Son of God. Now, this was scandalous. I mean, here's Mary. She's single. She's only betrothed to get married. Now, in that time, can you imagine what the social ramifications would be? I guess you could say it was a crisis pregnancy. Here's a non-married woman who is pregnant. Now, in that time, it would have been lawful for Joseph to have her stoned to death. Yeah, and you thought there was a stigma against single pregnant women today. No, she could have been stoned to death. That's scandalous. Here she is in her town, this girl that there was nothing remarkable about her. Absolutely nothing, except for her piety and the way she lived her life. It was just simple. And all of a sudden, here she is pregnant and unmarried. That doesn't sound like a good start if for God's little plan here on earth, at least by our standards. In fact, when I think about Christmas and the birth of Christ, it really strikes me how absolutely nothing about the way Jesus is born is, it has nothing to do with our standards and is completely backwards. Now, Jesus could have been born as a king among trumpets and in a great hall and with a lot of attention. He could have had the red carpet rolled out for him. He could have had celebrities in Hollywood showing up to take pictures and the paparazzi and all that good stuff. But no, that wasn't what happened. It was completely backwards, and it was scandalous. The Son of God, here's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born amidst scandal. Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death, but he chose not to because he had his own visitation by an angel. The angel telling him, "Hey, Joseph, be not afraid." A recurring theme in the Bible in Christ's ministry, be not afraid. Take Mary as your wife. Take her into your home because she is going to have God's son. And so he did. And it's absolutely beautiful and mind-boggling. Joseph, I mean, how should he feel? I mean, he's a good enough guy. He wanted to just divorce her quietly and not have her stoned to death, even though he would have been legally able to do so. So that says something about Joseph's character to begin with, that, okay, he's just going to let it, figure itself out on the down low here. But no, the angel shows up and said, "You, stand up, be a man. Be the foster father of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And so he did. Now, amidst this scandal, there was a census. Everyone had to be counted. So there's poor Mary, pregnant, and they got to go to Bethlehem. She's riding a donkey and Joseph's walking alongside. Imagine what traveling back then must have been like. You know, to go here, we can just hop in a car and go to the nearest town. At that point, you had to really plan for it. Get your supplies, get your animal or whatever it is, or you'd walk. That's pretty crazy. So they had to trek it out to Bethlehem from their hometown, Nazareth. And when they get there, it's Mary's time. Mary's ready to go. And what happens is there's absolutely nowhere for them to stay, because it's so packed with people that have been returning for this census, mandated by the government. And there you go. They're under strict government control there, too. Sound familiar, anyone? Anyway, I won't let myself digress. So they get to the town, and there's absolutely nowhere for them to stay. And Mary's, she's ready to have the baby. Can you imagine what Joseph must have been feeling like? Oh, my gosh. My wife is about to give birth to the Son of God. Do you think it could make a little room at the inn here? But no, there's nowhere. I know I would have been panicking by that point. I don't know about you. So, excuse me. So they finally run across this woman who tells them, "Oh, there's a stable. There's a manger out there in the field. You can go there. Hopefully there's some fresh straw while you're at it." Now, I don't know about you, but think about that according to our medical standards and everything. I mean, hospital births are sterilized environments. You got nurses and doctors and scrubs and masks and gloves and everything and the sterilized instruments. But no, we have the Son of God being born in a stable. That's crazy. It makes no sense if you think about it only according to the way we think about things. So they get to this stable. Now here's the Son of God. God becoming man. He didn't have to do that. There's nothing that God is getting from becoming a man, but he does it out of love for us because he has his plan of salvation. He has this whole thing. It's been prophesied for centuries, the coming of the Son of Man. So he gets here, and it's not a huge celebration. It isn't among celebrity. It's God, creator of the universe, and he is being born where we, the created, keep our own beasts of burden, where we keep our animals in a stable, a manger. Again, it's totally backwards. It makes no sense. Why would God choose to be born in a stable? He's the great Almighty One. He's the one that is the ruler and creator of the universe, and yet he is being born. And humans are made in the image and likeness of God. He's not even born among humans. He's born among the animals, the donkeys, the camels, whatever else, there's sheep. He's born among them with barely a whisper. Oh, except for that huge bright star there that was shining over. This is beautiful imagery. I find it absolutely amazing that God would choose to come into the world this way. It's unfathomable. There could have been a worldwide celebration covered by CNN. I don't know if we'd want that. But anyways, so here's Jesus born in a manger. And who are the first visitors? You know, there's this scene where the shepherds are in the hills and they see that star. And then there's this whole heavenly host that appears to them, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. I don't know about you, but I really, really wish I could hear what they were singing, hear what that sounded like. It must have been absolutely beautiful. It must have been amazing. So here's these shepherds. They're trying to watch their sheep. And all of a sudden, this heavenly host springs up and is singing. And they want to know what's going on. And so what are they supposed to do? Might as well go check it out, right? Let's go see what's going on. So these shepherds are the first ones to go visit this newborn child, this infant. How's he different from any other infant? What's he going to do? But they go and they see him. And the first people to see Jesus are these shepherds. It isn't kings. It isn't Caesar. It isn't anybody else. It is all about humility and the humility that Christ was born into. Here's this great, he's the Son of David. His name will be recognized above all names. And he's born among the beasts. He's born among the animals. And then the shepherds are the first ones that come to see him. It doesn't sound like much of a king, does it? It doesn't sound like much of anything. But here he is. And there's more scandal. We'll get to that in a second. There's more scandal. How can Mary and Joseph... Here's Mary, the teenage girl who said yes to God in her humility. It was Mary that said yes. And it was her yes. It was the yes heard around the world, but so softly and so silently. Mary, that perfect vessel, the bearer of Christ. I've got a very special devotion to Mary. I'm that scene where she says, yes, let it be done unto me according to thy word, that just, it is absolutely amazing to me. And I really enjoy praying to her and asking her to bring me closer to Jesus, because she bore him in her womb. She nursed him. She fed him. She cared for him. He stayed with Mary for the first 30 years of his life. He lived at home with his mom and his dad. He didn't do much. And here's Mary. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. It's unbelievable. It's beyond anything I can ever think of. So I'm going to take a quick break here. And when I come back, I'm going to be talking about the scandal, the more scandal of Jesus' birth. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Part of this new format here, I'm going to be figuring it out, is a couple little breaks we have in here. We're back here with the Warrior Catholic Show. I'm Chris Ricketts. The call-in number is 718-305-7176, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts on Christmas. I want to hear what you have to say about experiences you might have had, spiritual or otherwise, that have opened your eyes in one way or another. Looking forward to that. So we're here now. We're talking about the scandal of Jesus's birth. Now, obviously, there were a lot of prophecies talking about the king to be born in the little town, in this obscure town of Bethlehem on the far reaches of the Roman Empire. Again, there's Jesus being born in absolutely no acclaim whatsoever. If there was in any way his birth could have been minimalized, it was, and that was God's plan. That was part of his awesome plan. And so all these prophecies were not unknown to the King Herod. And so King Herod's there, and he knows about it, and all of a sudden, there's this huge star shining out. Yo, what's going on? And then he hears word that there are these three kings traveling the lands in search of the newborn king. Three kings that crossed his borders without even visiting him. Well, that's going to make Herod a little ticked. But not only ticked, Herod is threatened. Herod wants to know what's going on because he's the king. And if this baby is going to come and unseat him, well, no way. So what's Herod going to do? He tries to, he orders the slaughter of the innocents, is what it's called, when he sends his soldiers out to kill all the baby boys up to, I believe, 2 years old, if I'm remembering my Jesus of Nazareth movie correctly here. So Jesus was born in absolutely no acclaim whatsoever, nothing. He was born in the simplest conditions, probably unsanitary and uncleanly, and the FDA would not approve, or the medical association, or anybody else, Surgeon General. Nope, that would be condemned. But there he was, born in a stable, and a king wants to kill him. Again, that makes no sense. Here's this kid born. I mean, that's laughable even at that point. Born in a stable and he's the son of a carpenter? What? But a king wants to kill him. And he sends his soldiers out. And to be as thorough as possible, he kills all the baby boys. And that's horrible because he was so threatened by the prophecy of the kingship of Christ. This baby born in a stable of this obscure, unheard of woman and a lowly carpenter, but he's going to be the King of Kings, the Messiah, the one to deliver them, the one to cast off Roman rule, apparently. But that wasn't the kind of Messiah Jesus was going to be, this baby. No, 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 no. This was what he was going to do. He was going to abolish sin. He was going to free us and open the gates of heaven by ultimately dying on the cross. Jesus' whole life was scandalous. He told people to do the absolute opposite of whatever the common wisdom and knowledge was of that time. And also, it even applies now. Love your enemies? Who wants to do that? Seriously, who wants to love your enemy, that person that hates you and does everything they can to undermine you and destroy you? But that's what Jesus says. That's what came out of the babe born in Bethlehem. And through that is how we get salvation. He was born, he was crucified, and we get to go to heaven. I see we have a call here. Let's get you on. Welcome, and thanks for calling the Warrior Catholic Show. What's your name?
Marshall.
Hey, Marshall, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just found this radio show. It sounds pretty cool.
Well, thanks. What's your comment?
Do you sell Battletoads?
Do I sell Battletoads?
Yes, Battletoads.
I'm not sure what that is.
Dirt fish me!
Okay. So anyway, that was our first spam call, and we got rid of that anyway. So I apologize for that. I don't have a way of screening the calls right now. I don't have a producer, so sometimes the nuts will get through too. So anyway, Battletoads aside, here's Christ in the manger. He is lowly, and then he has these three kings. Finally, we have some people who weren't even – they weren't Jewish. They were from faraway lands. And they come bearing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they present them. Here are these kings that prostrate themselves before this baby. And that is unbelievable. That is – who are these people that come from far and away following the star? I mean, there's a great song, We Three Kings. I love that one. And they bring these gifts. Because they want to worship the baby. Who worships the baby? I don't know. But they were going to. They wanted to stop by and pay him homage. So they brought the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, to offer. And imagine what Mary and Joseph were thinking at this point. Here they are. They just traveled a long way off. And all of a sudden, they're in a stable because they couldn't find room at the inn. And then they've got a bunch of shepherds that all swing through because they want to see the newborn child too. And then, out of nowhere, seemingly, these three mysterious kings show up. And they say, "We're here to pay homage to the newborn child, to the newborn king." This imagery of Christmas and the birth of Christ, really, it strikes me very, very deeply and in the sense of the humility of it all. I really think that it's something to reflect on, especially in today's world where we like to be so over the top with everything. Just take a look at Hollywood. Just take a look at modern celebrities and political figures. And we deify everything. We deify our government. We deify celebrities. We make a huge deal. And here is the real celebrity, Jesus Christ, who is born into obscurity. And his life was so, well, the first 30 years was unheard of. And we don't, there isn't much in the Bible about it either. It's just always been, he spent a good little bit with his mom and dad, probably learned the tricks of the trade. And then all of a sudden, he's killed after 3 years of public ministry. That's not much of a record to boast on. And yet here we are over 2,000 years later, still talking about him. Still dissecting what it all meant. Still trying to figure it out. And it's the humility that I think is the key, that lowering of self, that realizing, I mean, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is born into a manger to an unheard of Jewish girl and a carpenter, who are we to raise ourselves up on any level? Who are we to act great when the Son of God was born completely opposite what we consider great? Again, the call-in number is 718-305-7176. Definitely want to hear from you, those of you who have a relevant comment to make, and want to hear about your Christmas thoughts, your Christmas stories, a Christmas miracle maybe that you might have encountered. I have some of my own to share with you. Also coming up later, I'm going to be reading to you a great, there's this book I read written by someone who sent me a message at my Warrior Catholic Facebook page. Yes, we're on Facebook, Warrior Catholic Show. Click the like. But this person wrote a Catholic thriller, political intrigue novel, and it is awesome. And there's this great passage from that book I'm going to be reading to you later. So that's going to be coming up. Also, my own personal Christmas stories, miracles, so to speak, that I have encountered over my life, and some tragedy too. But it is through this birth of Christ that offers us hope. This is the first episode being broadcast as a member of Conservative Nation Radio. It is an awesome group of people. There's a show every single day, broadcasting off of Blog Talk Radio. Same thing. And if you've been listening to the Warrior Catholic Show for a little while now, you might remember we were doing a new evangelization series. I'm not forgetting about that. I have more stuff to do with that. We're going to be starting that back up after the new year, because I still have to bring on my show with Devin Rose, the Catholic author of If Protestantism Were True, great book. But right now we're talking about Christmas, and I'm coming up against a hard break, but like I said, there's going to be a little bit of formatting, so there's not just talk the entire time. So Jesus Christ, born in the manger into obscurity. What do you think about that? What does that make you think of? How does that make you feel? All that good stuff. I got a quick call here. Let's see what's going on. Yes, sir. You're on the Warrior Catholic Show. Hello, you're on the Warrior Catholic Show. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, what's your name?
My name's Kevin, and I was wondering if you could give a shout-out to my friends.
Okay, we're not doing shout-outs, but appreciate the call. Anyways, if you have a call about Christmas or anything like that, I would appreciate that. And we're talking about your personal experiences and what you may have experienced over the years with Christmas, maybe a conversion or a deeper sense of peace or something that might have happened. Some people sometimes have tragedy associated with Christmas, and that is an awful thing. And right now we still have the incident in Connecticut fresh on our minds. But it's that hope and the peace of Christ that brings ultimate healing for that. So anyways, I'm on a hard break now, and when we come back, I want to get into some of those Christmas miracle stories. I want to talk a little bit more about this manger scene. So stick with us, and we'll be right back.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation Radio.
5-5-4-4-3-3-2-1-1.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003.
I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
And we're back with the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. This is Chris Ricketts. I'm your host. If you want to call in, it's 718-305-7176. We're just talking about Christmas here and the absolute beauty of the nativity scene and the simplicity and humility into which Christ was born from his background, son of the King of David, to a manger. And it's absolutely amazing and incredible what happened on that night. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear your stories of Christmas and your thoughts. What do you think of this scene of Christ out in the middle of nowhere in a manger being born? What experiences have you had on Christmas that have helped you? What miracles have you experienced through Christmas? What conversions? What healing? I want to hear from you. So the number is 718-305-7176. So please call in with a relevant comment. Again, when you call in, please make sure that we're respectful and that it's relevant to the topic, and if not, I hold the right to cut anyone off, so please call in and with your relevant comments, dying to hear from you. So anyway, Jesus Christ born into this manger, and so he set off a chain of events that has echoed throughout history all the way to today. And when we think about Christmas today, it's gotten really kind of sad. Because when you divorce Christ from Christmas, then we lose the whole hope of peace. Now, I know you're all familiar with it. Every year there's the Christmas wars, as I see some news outlets refer to it, where some local town council hangs a wreath on their door, and some poor sensitive atheist gets really offended and decides that they need to take legal action to have such a wreath removed because it is offending on their right to not believe in anything. Sure, if you want to be an atheist, go for it. Not gonna force you to do anything here. But if you believe in nothing, then really, what harm is it to see a nativity scene? Is it really that bad? I just wanted to throw that out there, but. You know, and we have Christmas every year. It's the same thing where we see more legal action taken to have Christmas taken out of the public square. We see, temper tantrums from legal groups, and we see all these people just throwing a hissy over something silly. If you're really an atheist, shouldn't it be amusing to you that all of us silly Christians are just running around over nothing? Shouldn't you be sitting back and laughing at us instead of whining and crying? Anyways, I just had that random thought. But then we're getting back to taking Christ out of Christmas. Also, for many of us who there are many who celebrate Christmas, but it has turned into that commercial, secularized holiday where, all right, a lot of if we have to talk about Christmas, we'll just leave that whole religious thing out of it. I mean, who likes Christmas? You know, there's Santa and every department store and every online shop and every clothes store and every line is doing their deals, and it gets earlier and earlier now. I saw Christmas stuff coming out before Halloween, and I'm sure you did too. That is crazy. Crazy. I never thought about getting into the Christmas spirit myself until usually after Thanksgiving, but hey, maybe that's being a little old-fashioned or something. So we have this secularized notion of Christmas, and it turns into how much stuff can I get? Oh, it's these deals. It totally loses the meaning of what it's supposed to be about. You know, it turns into another one of those traditions in America and elsewhere where we go through the motions of celebrating or whatnot, but it turns into something that is meaningless because we go through the motions but don't remember why we're doing these things. Giving gifts at Christmas is a timeless tradition, but when it turns into a quest for loading up on stuff, then giving those gifts loses the meaning of why we're doing it. Now, when you have I worked at a retail store on Black Friday. I came on as a seasonal worker at a large retailer, and let me tell you, it started, at about 8 o'clock Thanksgiving night. Yep, I was working on Thanksgiving, and there were lines stretched around the store at that point. I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's Thanksgiving, the day when we give thanks for our blessings, and we thank God for all of the goodness in our lives, and here we are out to get more stuff. And, you know, maybe someone did go to a Black Friday deal. I'm not saying that's a terrible thing or whatever, but when I had to shake my head when the cops were called, and because two people were starting to get into a shoving match up at the front, and it's really sad that that's what happened. It's really sad that that's what it's come down to. And then you go on the news sites and you see stories about huge mobs and people getting trampled and people getting into fights over stuff. It is stuff. They are things. Trust me, they're not going to last. They're going to go away at some point. So why are we getting all upset about the new Nike Air Jordans? I saw something on that recently. There were cops called at malls, and they were trampling and all that good stuff. Shoving matches over things. Things that expire. Things that go away. That's what happens when we take Christ out of Christmas. That's what happens when it turns into a secularized, commercialized, let's make a lot of money ruckus. And that's what it's turned into. It's turned into a ruckus. And it's really sad that that's what's happened. Now, when we put Christ into Christmas, we're left with that sense of awe and wonder that such a thing could have happened in the first place. Here is an omnipotent being, God, the creator of the universe. He created us he got nothing out of it. There's nothing we can do for God, but he did it anyway. Then we've royally screwed that up right off the bat. So he goes and says, all right, let's go to our next plan here. He didn't have to do that either. I mean, shoot, he could have said, well, this is obviously a flawed model, and then started over. Nope, that's not what he did either. So he sends his son down to be born among his creations. What omnipotent being would do that? That doesn't make sense. So he sent his son down to be born among peasants and among animals. And then he sent his son down to ultimately be put to death by his own creations. What omnipotent perfect being would do that? I mean, obviously God, but I'm just throwing that out there. So you've got it's like contradiction city here. The great becomes the small, only to become great again. So Jesus Christ is the whole center of Christmas. That's why we celebrate it. That's what we're doing here. That's why we come together. And it's so sad when we see, you know, I also work at a gas station convenience store, and I worked Christmas Eve and Christmas night. I worked the night shift. And I see all these people come in and their Christmas outfits or whatever, and so many of them are drunk, stumbling all over. Some people are there to get more food. Some people are there, you know, maybe just stopping through because they're traveling or whatever. But, and some of I'm just, it makes me sad sometimes to see how many people are missing the whole point of Christmas, missing Christ, missing those graces that come from it. You know, God becoming man is a huge, huge deal. It's enormous. It goes beyond our comprehension as to why God would become a creation, send his son down. But by joining us, we join him. Now we are not only made in the image and likeness of God, but we have Christ. We hold a brotherhood with Christ, who is in fact human. He became flesh and blood, true God, true man. He suffered, he lived, he laughed. And even now, he is still in heaven as a human, but in his divine glory. He still has his flesh and blood. He is still the Son of God become man, and we hold that kinship with him. I think that's incredible. I think that's that goes beyond comprehension. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and we are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. We share humanity with him. God shares humanity with and divinity with us, and so raises us up to the level of sharing humanity and divinity with God. He lowered himself to raise us. And that's what Christmas is all about, that hope. And boy, do we need hope today. You know, after the tragedy in Connecticut, you know, where so many beautiful little children lost their lives, and some heroic teachers as well. How can we make sense of it? We can't, but we can at least have hope for the future through the birth of the baby Jesus, the birth of Christ. It is through that we can hope for a better future and hope for peace. And I'm not talking about peace, the emotion. I'm not talking about a warm, fuzzy feeling where we all sit around a campfire and sing Kumbaya. No, I'm talking about a deeper peace where we have an inner calm, knowing that we are sons of God and sisters and daughters and brothers of Jesus Christ. And of God. It is that peace that he comes to bring. The sense that Jesus is king. And he is going to lead us into a new way of living. Outside of our own sin. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. I'd like to hear from you. The number is 718-305-7176. And what I want to hear is, I want to hear your stories of Christmas. I want to hear what you have experienced over the years. I want to hear maybe a Christmas miracle. What are your thoughts on what I've been talking about so far? What is going through your head? Do you have a conversion story? Have you witnessed something? Anything at all? Please call in with a relevant comment. That is, I've had a couple of interesting callers so far. But that's okay, no problem. So anyways, I told you I would be getting to some of my own stories, and I want to share this with you. You know, I've been married almost 10 years. 10 years next August, and I have 4 children and 1 on the way right now. Wow, this is the first time I'm publicly announcing that one. We just let our parents know yesterday on Christmas. There's a good Christmas present for you. Another baby is going to be born. So we have the 4 kids, and it's a wonderful journey for sure. A girl and 3 boys. She's the oldest, so she at least has that going for her. And the boys who play WrestleMania just about every day. It's awesome. I'll lay on the floor and they'll body slam me jumping off of a chair. It's pretty fun. But you know, we've had our rough times. And when we first got married, I was in the Marine Corps. I spent 8 years in the Marines as in the United States Marine Drum and Bugle Corps, stationed at 8th and I. Went to boot camp, did all that stuff, combat training, and then I went right over and I toured the nation and internationally performing, representing the Marine Corps, and it was an awesome deal. But you know, it was tough. And every year for Christmas, my wife and I would scratch our heads and wonder, what's going on? How are we going to be able to make Christmas special? How are we going to be able to provide for the kids on that day? And I can honestly tell you that every single year, and my oldest child is 8 years old, so we pretty much had we were expecting our first child pretty much right after getting married. So every year since we've been married, pretty much, we have been able to, through the grace of God, you know, have a good Christmas and have gifts for the kids. And it has always been at the last minute. It has always been when we thought that, well, we're just going to have to, you know, make something up here, that someone unexpectedly and unsolicited has offered to give us, you know, made a donation to us, either monetarily or with little presents or packages. And, you know, it's been absolutely unbelievable. And I can honestly say I believe in Santa Claus. I really do. He is an awesome guy. And every single year he's pulled through. It's been one of those deals where over some years we've been absolutely, pulling our hair out, you know, praying novenas, trying to figure out what we're going to do. And then it would be out of the blue. For the last, not this year, but 2 years, for the previous 2 Christmases, there was a friend of ours had said that there was an anonymous donor who had given her a budget to go and do some shopping. This year it was, we were at the end of our rope, not knowing what we were going to do. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the generosity through very generous friends of ours, they all just started, you know, helping us out. It's humbling. It's amazing. I personally don't accept help very well. My pride gets in the way, but it was unbelievable how it just came together like that. And I'm very grateful. I'm very humbled. And one day I know that once we're in a position, we can do the same thing. I definitely want to get out and give it back, because it's the generosity of people is absolutely, it boggles my mind. It really does. So that every year has been a Christmas miracle for my wife and me, in that we've had the generosity of people has helped us with Christmas and providing for our kids. So I'm coming up on a soft break now, but when we come back, I'll keep going with that. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
That was funny. Okay, so we're back, and we're talking about Christmas miracles. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, on Conservative Nation Radio. And the call-in number is 718-305-7176. Now, we're talking about personal experiences that people may have had throughout the years on Christmas or around Christmas time. And I want to hear from you. I want you to please share with us what you have experienced, a sense of conversion, a sense of peace, a Christmas miracle maybe, something. So anyways, I was saying that, you know, every single year it's worked out, again, at the very last minute, you know, in ways that we don't expect. And that seems to be the way that God answers my prayers and my wife's prayers. I can lay out a blueprint for him. You know, okay, God, I need X, Y, and Z, and I need you to do it this way. And if you could do it on this date, that would be great. And then God's like, yeah, you're funny. Sorry, that was a bad God impression, but I really don't know, have anything to work with here. So anyways, it works out in a way that is totally unexpected. And it is better than I ever could imagine when he answers prayers like that. It has enabled us to have a good Christmas for the kids and see the joy in their faces. They come running out and see what Santa left them. And it truly is Santa. I completely believe in Santa, and I'm an adult man telling you that, and I'm proud to do so. It is absolutely incredible. And it's just, I don't know, like I said, it's very humbling when something like that happens. Every single year it's been one generous person after another, and we don't go out advertising, we don't sign up on anything, we don't try to, you know, ask people or anything like that. We don't beg, but it's always worked out in a way that has been beautiful and humbling. And we're very, very appreciative for having the people in our lives and the way God has answered our prayers. So that's just one of the Christmas miracles. And it always leads to, at least for me, to a deeper sense of peace and joy. Not so much that we're getting stuff, but in the fact that there are good people out there and I can see God working through them. And I can see the generosity, and I can see how the Holy Spirit moves people. And it is that in which I rejoice. That is what I give glory to God for. And one day I pray that I can be in a situation where I can do that for someone else. And you know, God willing, I definitely will, because once you receive from the generosity of others, at least for me, it makes me want to go out and be able to do the same thing for other people, giving from what I have to someone else. And that's a beautiful thing. I think it's very much lacking in the Christmas spirit of today of gimme, gimme, gimme. But there are gems out there. There are islands of grace. There are islands of people who still get it, who still appreciate and who cherish the newborn baby Jesus. So I also have a Christmas memory that is a little sad, and I'll share that with you too, because, you know, some people do have some tragedies that occur around Christmas, and it can make Christmas a very difficult time. But I'll share it with you, and then how it's helped better my faith. When I was a kid, actually, there was a new church that was built right close to our house, so we started going there, and one of the priests there, his name was Monsignor Vernon, he recruited me to be an altar server. I was, in sixth grade, something like that. He was a great priest, wonderful guy, very very holy man, was involved in a lot of things, and got me to be an altar server. So I really enjoyed doing that. And so I was doing that. I was enjoying being an altar server. Then it was Christmas. Christmas was coming. And it was Christmas Eve, and I remember my mom took my sister and me to go to church, and there was Monsignor Vernon outside saying, sorry, we can't let anyone else in. And it was one of those, another no room at the inn kind of scenes. And so, all right, good to go. So we left, and the next day, it was Christmas. You know, we opened our presents, we did all that good stuff, and about midday or so, we got a phone call saying that Monsignor Vernon had been killed in a car crash on Christmas Day. He had said a lot of Christmas masses, and he was driving out to visit, I think, some family. And he fell asleep at the wheel because he was exhausted and hit a tree and was killed. And that was very shocking for me. I was a boy, and this was a positive role model in my life. And, you know, it was sad. I couldn't even play with some of my Christmas toys after that because they reminded me of the incident. And, you know, there's every year on Christmas now, I stop and I remember Monsignor Vernon, and he went home on Christmas Day, you know, and that's as sad as it is, can only, in the face of this tragedy, again, I can find hope in Christ. And that's the only place to find that healing and that hope, to look deep. And it can be a long path to finally being able to turn to look for that hope, because sometimes our wounds are so deep. But over time, you know, God can wear us down, or we can wear God down to ask him for the grace to overcome such things. But I'm sure there are a lot of people in Connecticut that will be having a rough Christmas for a long time now. And we have to pray that the peace and grace that comes from the birth of Christ can touch their hearts and to find healing. Because it can take a long time for that healing to come. It can take a good while. But I always remember Monsignor Vernon on Christmas Day, and his full name was Monsignor Emmanuel W. Vernon, who died on Christmas Day. Isn't that that's kind of creepy right there? That was wild. So I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just trying to throw out there that there are lots of Christmas experiences that can either be good or bad, but ultimately it can all lead to a good, to the ultimate good, to a greater good, to that peace, that deeper sense, not just the emotion, but the inner conviction that Christ is King and he will lead us if we follow. So we're talking about, like I said, we're talking about Christmas experiences. I want to hear from you. Please call in at 718-305-7176. Got about 2 minutes before I got to take another break. Again, please excuse me as I get used to this new formatting. I kind of like it, though, because you don't have to hear my voice the entire time. And there are these fun little commercials on here. Hopefully they're pretty cool. I like it so far. So also, just a heads up here, the Warrior Catholic Show, the Wednesday evening is going to be the new day, broadcast day for this show. Also at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I know I was going at Sundays for a while, but I'm fitting in with the programming here at Conservative Nation Radio, and I think it's a great time to do a show. So every Wednesday at 7 p.m. is going to be the next Warrior Catholic Show, and it'll be a 1 to 2 hour show depending on what's going on and how I'm feeling, but it'll always start at 7 p.m. So definitely check it out. There is also a Facebook page for the Warrior Catholic Show. Just go on Facebook, Warrior Catholic Show, click the like button. You can also find Conservative Nation Radio on Facebook and like them as well, because then you can hear about all the cool shows that are on that. Actually, tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Time, that's 8 p.m. for all you EST folks, is Nobomination. I definitely recommend that. That'll be a great show. So, again, it's a group of people who share conservative values and care greatly about the nation and are very concerned about the direction in which it is going. And you've heard me talking about that in previous shows on the Warrior Catholic Show as well. So, all right, well, it is time for that break, and I will be back, and I will be reading from that book coming up. Don't go away.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online, 24/7, 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation, Conservative Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Together, you and I shocked the world. Not only did we win Iowa and 10 other states, we framed the Republican message, and we showed that conservative values are alive and well all across America. And what do I call winning 11 states? Well, just the beginning. Because by staying together, you and I can amplify our voices. and change America. And the top of that list, of course, is defeating Barack Obama. To accomplish all this, I'm starting a brand new organization, Patriot Voices. And once again, I'm calling on you and 1 million other patriots to join me and guarantee that our voices be heard. Our mission is clear. Fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. To accomplish this, we'll mobilize our grassroots troops to help elect candidates that share our values and hold elected officials accountable for their actions all across this country. And like the founding fathers of our country, we're ready to take on the establishment or anyone else who opposes those bedrock American principles. Are you ready to join the fight to protect the sanctity of life? Protect traditional marriage? Return to the principles of our Constitution? Restore fiscal sanity in Washington and across this country? And make America an economic and manufacturing superpower again? Then it's time you become a member of Patriot Voices. And joining couldn't be simpler. Just go to patriotvoices.com and you can instantly become a founding member of our organization. You and I weren't there for the American Revolution. We didn't write the Constitution or sign the Declaration of Independence. But let's make no mistake about it. The fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and ensure opportunity for all in America is just as critical today as it was back then. Our time in history is right now. And I hope that you'll choose to join me in this critical fight by joining Patriot Voices today. Patriot Voices, your voice multiplied by a million.
And we're back with the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and I want to hear from you. That's right. You sitting there at the computer or whatever you're listening on, please call in 718-305-7176. I want to hear about your Christmas experiences, what's your thoughts on Christmas, what you have learned over the years, a Christmas miracle perhaps. Whatever's on your mind, just call in 718-305-7176. So I told you we're going to be reading from a little passage from this awesome book. It's called The Omega Crusade. And the first book is The House of War, and it is a political Catholic thriller. Yes, I know. It's who would have thought you could put all that together, but he did it, this author, and it is awesome. It is on Amazon Kindle right now, and you can find it there. And I'm not going to give everything away, but in the book, at one point, a Monsignor is giving a homily to the entire world. Are you intrigued yet? Go check out the book. So anyways, it's this homily that I want to read to you because this author absolutely gets it right. He says some amazing things in there that I really got all – when I was reading it, trust me, I was all fired up. I was ready to go and conquer the world or something like that or another. But I want to read this to you. It's from the Omega Crusade, Book 1, The House of War. And this is the homily that the Monsignor gives to the entire world. And it is awesome. So check it out. All right. Quote, "The core, the heart and soul of what we celebrate tonight is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We call Jesus Christ our Lord because we believe him to be no less than God himself. Christmas, or as our Catholic liturgy refers to it, the Feast of the Incarnation, is therefore a celebration of the greatest of all miracles, God becoming man. Dismiss the miracle of God's incarnation as a mere religious trapping, and the hope of peace on earth will disappear with it. Why? It's because Jesus Christ is the very source of that hope. You see, my friends, through his life, death, and resurrection, our Lord showed us the way to heaven, and in so doing, he also gave us the means to live out our lives on earth in peace. Love is the means our Lord gave us. We're talking of real love here, not the self-serving sentimentalism or the hypersexualized appetite that masquerades for love in our culture. Real love is a selfless willing of the good of the other. This love is measured in giving and sacrifice. God first demonstrated this love when he created us, creatures he did not need, beings who could give him nothing in return for having been brought into existence. God demonstrated this selfless love of other again at Christmas, when in the second person of the Holy Trinity, he was born of a virgin and made flesh. He had nothing to gain from his incarnation any more than he had from our creation. It too was an act of selfless giving, a gift of pure love freely given for our sakes, not his. Our Lord came to us for us. God willed our good, our salvation, for our own sake, demonstrating through his life and death a sort of love that would make men not only saints in heaven, but brothers here on earth. Through Jesus Christ, men first learn to see beyond self, clan, tribe, race, and nation. It is through our Lord's words and example that men learn to love each other as brothers. This idea of a brotherhood of man, which is essential to peace on earth, is threaded throughout the life of Jesus. It is there at the beginning of our Lord's life when rich wise men and poor shepherds come together to worship the newborn king. We find it in his ministry with our Lord's preaching to both the powerful and the weak, to priests and publicans, harlots and heathens. And it is there in our Lord's last command to his apostles to preach the gospel to all the nations of the world. We have in our jaded age lost sight of just how revolutionary Christianity was and continues to be. Christ's admonishment to love one's neighbor as oneself was a radical proposition to the ancient world, and I dare say it is really no less so today. Our Lord's admonishment to love our enemies was and is more radical yet. It was a new way of seeing this Christian revelation. Political philosophy, prior to the emergence of Christianity, contains nothing like it. There is nowhere in history any affirmation or even recognition of the inherent dignity in every soul until Christians preach the gospel. Try as you might, you will not find the concept of universal human rights in the world before the rise of Christianity. As eminently quotable as the president Aristotle is, the idea of universal human rights would have been inconceivable to him. Love is not on Aristotle's list of virtues. What rights there were in the ancient world were inherited, brought or won through conquest. No one thought of them as God-given and intrinsic to every individual. No one, that is, until Christendom lifted man out of pagan darkness and challenged the barbaric might-makes-right way of the ancient world with the Christian revelation of God's love. It was in the light of Christian revelation that men saw each other as equals and began to envision better, more humane ways to live together. Up until then, the notion of creating a society based on the inherent equality of all men would have been laughed off as a prescription for anarchy by Aristotle and his fellows. There is not a classical philosopher who wouldn't have thought it the most absurd of schemes. And who could blame them? Brilliant as they were, these pagan philosophers did not have the benefit of Christian revelation. All they had was the evidence of their senses, which plainly demonstrated that inequalities of beauty, strength, intelligence, vice, and virtue abounded throughout mankind. It was only in a later Christianized age that a man like Thomas Jefferson could see through and past all the objective plain as day inequalities among men and pen the words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain and inalienable rights." Jefferson didn't wake up one morning with that idea freshly sprung in his head. Neither did Locke nor any of the other philosophers of the Enlightenment. No, the idea grew through fits and starts over the 1700 plus years of Christianity, putting our Lord Christ's command to love one another into practice. It began with the early Christians' first efforts to abolish infanticide, slavery, and gladiator games in ancient Rome. This love for our fellow man progressed to the founding of the first hospitals for the poor, the establishing of the first universities, the patronage of the arts and sciences, the promotion of philosophy and law. Our founding fathers held the truth of equality and human rights to be self-evident because, unlike the world of Aristotle and Plato, their world was lit by more than just the limited light of human reason. Their world and their minds were also illuminated by the brilliance of the true light born 2,000 and a score of years ago in the little town of Bethlehem. And from Bethlehem, the light shined in the darkness. But the darkness, as St. John records, did not comprehend the light. In fact, the darkness has been trying to snuff out the light from the beginning. Our long lineage of bloodied martyrs attests to that. We can trace that sacred line to the very beginning of the Christian community, 1,000 years before the church raised a single sword in crusade or held a single inquisition. The world declared war on our church. A whole millennium before the church did any of the things our critics are always throwing in our faces, Christians were already hated. The Roman Empire, which generously accommodated the worship of 1,000 false gods, would not tolerate the worship of the one true God. They could expertly assimilate peoples from every alien corner of the world and yet ruthlessly single out one group for extermination. Persecuted from the beginning, the first Christians were hunted like criminals, whipped, stoned, impaled, beheaded, and fed to flames and wild animals. Why? It's simple, really. To use a term much bandied about in the present culture, Christians were instantly reviled by their fellow man because they introduced into the world the first and only truly alternative lifestyle. There is no lifestyle more alternative than the Christians. The Christian does not justify the indulgence of his appetite merely because it feels good. That is the way of the world. It has always been the way of the world, the unbridled pursuit of pleasure. When he looks out for number one, the Christian is not thinking of himself. Selfishness is the way of the world of man, not the Son of Man. The Christian eschews the ways of this world. He lives in it without being a part of it. Christianity dares to proclaim that there is a will greater than man's will. The Christian rejects the self-determination preached by the world. Like the Blessed Mother of our God in church, the Christian lives his life saying to his God, "Be it done unto me according to your word." The Christian repeats after our Blessed Lord, "Not mine, but thy will be done, O God." The celebration of our Lord's birth reminds us of this alternative way of life, a life lived in accordance to God's will. This alternative lifestyle of Christianity begins with Christmas, and thus it is no surprise that so many are hostile to seeing any sign of it in the public square. This hostility is nothing new. In fact, it could be argued that the war on Christmas began in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, where our Lord and Savior was born under a death sentence, hunted by a jealous Herod, the ultimate battle between good and evil began. Make no mistake, my friends, we Christians are at war, and we fight behind enemy lines. We are, in fact, charged with taking the battle to the very gates of hell. The church is the point of heaven's spear driven at the heart of the enemy. Our share in salvation history is to be both the light of the world and the salt of the earth. In our Lord's description, the church militant is given her twofold mission. The light of the world is easy enough to comprehend, expose the truth by scattering shadows and dispelling darkness. The salt of the earth, as an expression, has, however, been diluted over the centuries to mean merely a simple and guileless people. It would have meant a lot more to Christ's first century audience. Salt in the ancient world was both a preservative and a corrosive element. Salt could both preserve food and render a land lifeless. We are called to do both. Preserve what is good in this world and destroy evil by salting the ground on which it grows. Christmas marks the beginning of the end of Satan's rule. He knows it, and his minions here on earth can sense it. They are frightened. This fear is the source and fuel of their hatred of us. It has led them to persecute Christians in every age. It compels them to exterminate us in this age. We need not fear them, however. Our Lord, you will recall, did not come down to us unaccompanied. The shepherds in the field looked up to see a host of angels in the sky above Bethlehem. The Greek word used in Scripture is stratus. We get the English word strategy, strategic, and stratagem from it. The word can better be translated as an army. The newborn King of Kings arrived on earth with an army of angels, an invasion force, at his beck and call. They are the same legions of angels that ministered to our Lord during his 40-day duel with Satan in the wilderness. They are the same angels that are with us in all our struggles against the world and the powers and principalities that presently rule it. How awesome was that? Oh my gosh, I'm getting chills just thinking of it. What a great picture it presents. I mean, you think about Christians today. I go into a Catholic church, I see people falling asleep in the pews, mumbling through the prayers, and there's a war going on. There's the powers and principalities of darkness are lining up against us. But Christ was born amidst an army of angels that stormed the world, being the salt of the earth. a preservative, and a corrosive element. Those are awesome, awesome images. It makes being a Christian, being a Catholic, sound so much more exciting. Like we're in an epic battle. There's no room for being lukewarm, for just showing up and paying lip service. Jesus Christ said that you will be spit out, those who are lukewarm. Spit out. That's something you do when you're disgusted by something. Ptooey. Well, that wasn't a good hot dog. That's what's going to happen to those who are lukewarm. There's an epic battle going on, and we see that now from the persecution of religious freedom by the Obama administration, especially in the form of the HHS mandate, forcing the church to go against its own teachings. Why? Because the government said so. Render unto Caesar what Caesar's and to God what is God's. But when Caesar starts trying to take from what's God's, oh, there's going to be some problems, folks. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you because I think it really captured the essence of it. I had a great, and he was saying that sermon at Midnight Mass on Christmas Eve. Again, check out that book. It's the Omega Crusade, Book 1, The House of War. And it is an awesome, awesome book. I read it and I couldn't put it down, so to speak. It is incredible. So we're talking about Christmas. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I'm Chris Ricketts, your host. And we're talking about the obscurity into which Jesus was born and the huge waves that were created by the obscurity of his birth. It doesn't make sense that nothing can create such a huge something, that by coming into the world, Jesus was coming in as a warrior, the Lion of Judah, the Prince of Peace. But when evil raises its ugly head, we don't turn around and we don't cower. We fight. That's what we're called to do. This, he said it in that homily there. It's the church militant. We are the tip of heaven's spear, willing to do battle all the way down to the gates of hell. I have a caller on now. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to the Warrior Catholic Show.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the show tonight. Doing a great job.
Oh, thanks.
Even getting rid of those trolls.
Oh, well, there are going to be some interesting folks every now and then, I suppose.
Yes. You know, God puts people in our lives for a reason.
Everyone needs a stone in their shoe every now and then, I suppose.
You know, I was thinking, too, you know, they might learn something.
Yeah, well,
you know.
We can only hope.
Yes, absolutely. But what I wanted to share is I had an absolutely awesome Christmas. I was at home up in New York with my family.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't been there for 18 years for Christmas. So
okay.
It was like awesome. But we've always done Christmas Eve at my dad's. So, you know, like every year, my brothers and I and my niece, we all go over to my dad's for Christmas Eve. So we're eating. And besides having so much fun at the dinner table, when it was time to open presents, you know, my dad gave me a card, and I saw in the front of it, it just said Barbara Ann Mulligan. I'm like, okay, no big deal. And then I opened it up. It was my original baptism certificate.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like,
that is awesome.
I was like, oh, my God, where'd you get that? And he's like, well, I found it. But, yeah, that was, like, really cool. So
that is.
Yeah. Damped and everything by the church. So, yeah, that was really cool.
Wow, and what a cool little, like, kind of a reminder almost. Here's where it all started, you know, that Christian road.
Yep.
That's a great thing. Well, very good.
And then on my way home, I was listening to the radio, and I think I was in Virginia. And one of the DJs came on, and he started talking about the birth of Christ, and he was saying, well, here's the reason, this is the reason we're celebrating. It's little baby Jesus's birthday. And that was on a rock and roll station. I was just like, yes, yes. Because I'm real tired of people being offended.
Yeah.
So my whole trip up to New York, everybody that I encountered, even on the way home, everybody that I encountered in the toll booths and everything, I was like, Merry Christmas. Me and my daughter went shopping, and I was saying Merry Christmas to everybody, and a lot of people were saying it back.
Oh, and that's great.
Yeah, there was a person or two that gave me a look, but you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, they got over it, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. If not...
These big, tough atheists are real scared of Jesus here.
They are, but you know what? It's felt in the heart. It's felt on
absolutely
the inside. You know, and if just people can feel that, I don't think there would be so much anger in the world today.
I think so, too. Well, thanks for calling in, Barbara. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good night.
You too, Chris.
All right. We have another caller here. Hello. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Michael. Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you, Mike.
Hey, Chris, it's Michael. I just wanted to call in real quick. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I wanted to first say you're doing a great job on the show. And
thanks.
I wanted to share, I thought this was a perfect opportunity for me to share you know, part of Conservative Nation Radio, partner of being at Tradam, just to kind of share the joy of this Christmas season. It's perfect timing with your show and what this Christmas has meant to me, aside from my family, my wife, my children, my granddaughter, having them all together and sharing in the joy of this season. What is occurring, and I don't really want to go into really promoting Conservative Nation Radio, but with you and Laura, and us hooking up and all of this happening, it's only resolved the fact that that God has a plan and he brings people together. And it just so happens, I guess, that it was coincidence with Christmas for us. But, man, I just wanted to call and tell you that and say thank you.
Oh, thanks. That's really great. Yeah, you're right. God's got a plan, and all we got to do is buckle up and hold on for the ride, because it's usually a pretty fun ride.
Absolutely, buddy. Well, I'm gonna bail now. I'm gonna sit back. I've been enjoying the show as I'm sitting here working. Thank you so much, Chris, and much love to you and your family. And thank you so
all right
much.
Thanks, Mike. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, brother.
All right. Well, glad to get some callers in. I'm a little long, but I'll take a quick break here, and I'll be right back.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy
Avenue. Just broke up,
and go past
and
the first three lights,
happy
and then
it
take the next left.
I don't really
then
think she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, and we're back. A little break there. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. Call in number is 718-305-7176. Want to hear your Christmas stories, your Christmas thoughts. I just read that awesome homily from the Monsignor from the Omega Crusade, and talking about being the salt of the earth as Christians. And I hadn't really pondered that before, because you hear it, you know, in the Bible and maybe from a sermon at some point. Yeah, we're Christians, the salt of the earth. Yeah, so what? I put salt on my French fries. You know, that's a good thing. But I like the way he describes it. It's a preservative. so it can be used to, you know, salting meats at that point. You would need to put the salt on the meat to help it last longer. If you eat beef jerky today, you look at the sodium content, it's like 3,000% of your yearly salt intake. You know, it's nuts. But it's a preservative, and it can help things last for a long time. So Christians, salt of the earth, preserving the traditions, preserving the teachings of God, preserving the faith and spreading it among other people. And that faith is like salt to us, because that salt, that faith will preserve us and sustain us throughout our lives, starting with Christmas. Salt also being a corrosive element can render a field lifeless, so no crops can grow. So we must be salt too, in that we are salt to the field where sin can grow. I guess getting a little cheesy there, but, you know, sorry. It's one of those things. But a corrosive element, stamping it out, getting rid of it, rendering it lifeless. I think that's awesome, that imagery that was used in that sermon. And so anyways, that's what Christ set in motion by coming into this world. You know, Satan had strong control on the earth. And before Christ, like it said too, in the pagan times, there was no recognition of the dignity of the human person. Whoever was in charge got to do whatever he wanted. You know, they had servants, they had slaves. They could go, you know, the person, the leader could go and kill anyone he wanted just because he felt like it. No big deal. Whatever. There was no sense of human dignity. And that is a purely Christian concept. So even the atheist who says it's wrong to kill someone is quoting a Christian principle, is living according to a Christian ideal. Christian teaching and philosophy has shaped, Judeo-Christian principles have shaped European and North American laws for hundreds of years. It's where it all came from. Judeo-Christian principles. So it's really funny when you see these nations, you know they're going down the hill when they're trying to get rid of any sense of Christianity that is. I mean, Europe is way more secularized than America. I mean, in America, at least, we complain about it over here, but they practically, I mean, forgotten who Christ is. That maybe there's a vague reference. Someone will vaguely remember that well, there's this guy, Jesus Christ, and he, for some reason, he was important or is a big name, but whatever, you know, I'm going to go, you know, go back to my fast food restaurant now, or, well, maybe not fast food. In Europe, they don't do that, but, you know, get the bread and cheese and wine or something if you're in France. But anyways, so that's what he set into motion, a war. And it started just at his birth by being born. Jesus was marked for death. And I also like the way that show talked, that homily talked about Christianity being the only alternative lifestyle. And I've got about a minute till a break, but I'm going to get more into that, talking about Christianity as the only truly alternative lifestyle that in existence, that has ever existed. So again, this is the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. Glad to be a part of it. There's an awesome group of folks, you know, to use the term, the salt of the earth, care very much about their country, and are stepping up to do something about it by sending their message, a strong conservative message, to combat what's going on right now, at least here on the home front in America. So after that break, Christianity as the only alternative lifestyle. Back in a flash.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Conservative Nation. Conservative Nation Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
A medic went out. Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer.
one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Atkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
And we're back. The Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, broadcasting from the advanced studio of my living room, sitting at a computer, hoping one of the kids will come out and start talking, although I'm sure that'll be interesting for you. So the Warrior Catholic Show with Conservative Nation Radio, we're a proud partner with them now, a awesome group of folks. There's a show every single day. There's a show tomorrow, actually, Nobama Nation at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 8 p.m. EST for all of you folks who live out on the East Coast, which is where I am. So anyways, check that out tomorrow. It's an awesome group of people. Like I said, different show every day, conservative values, Christian values. I'm really proud to be a part of what they're doing. So I want to hear from you about your Christmas experiences, your thoughts on the birth of Christ and a Christmas miracle maybe, but dying to hear from you. The number is 718-305-7176. And been talking about the birth of Christ and how amazing it is that the Son of God would be born into such obscurity and yet also be hunted for by a king to be put to death. I mean, Jesus was born into a death sentence. I recently read an awesome homily out of a book that I read called The Omega Crusade. The book one is The House of War. You can find that on Amazon Kindle. Great Catholic political thriller. I know it sounds like an odd mix, but he pulls it off brilliantly, and I can't wait for the next book to come out. So in the book, I read this homily that a Monsignor gives to the entire world, and I hope that piques your interest, and now you just have to go check it out. But in it, he's talking about, he mentions that Catholicism, Christianity, is the only truly alternative lifestyle. Now, we like to hear that all the time now, you know, these, well, it's an alternative lifestyle, you know, homosexual marriage and, you know, whatever else, you know, what skaters and the punks and the, you know, this, that, and the other thing and the hip hop and all the alternative lifestyle, whatever, and today it seems to just mean however you want to live your life, which seems to be going against whatever you perceive as the common grain is. So, but in fact, and he points out that the self-serving, self-seeking lifestyle has been the dominant way people lived, especially before Christianity in the pagan world. The self-serving, you know, I'm going to eat because I want to eat, and I'm going to stuff myself and be a glutton, and I see, you know, I satisfy my body's cravings with everything, sexually, with food, you know, whatever. I get angry with someone, I kill them. I want something, I take it. If I'm stronger than someone else, I dominate them. And it's all about what I want. That's the pre-Christian mindset, and it is the one that still tries to infiltrate our thinking today. And the birth of Christ changed all of it, because he established a new law, a new way of thinking. The pagan mindset was foreign to the idea of human dignity. Now, God's people, the Jews, were still, leading up to Christ. They had their own issues, but they had the Ten Commandments, but that was just the Jewish people. The rest of the world was largely pagan and living by a set of principles completely opposite as to what God would call us to. Now, when it comes to alternative lifestyles, you think about it, Christianity really is the only truly alternative lifestyle, because it has us go against just satisfying the whims of our bodies, of doing what we want at the expense of others. It calls us to a higher way of life. God calls us up because we're made in his image, because we have a soul. We are body and soul. And overindulging the body harms the soul as well as the body. I mean, you eat too much, you gain too much weight, you have health issues, and you can die. You put foreign substances in your body that aren't supposed to be there. Sure, it might have some, it might seem like it has a positive effect by being enjoyable, but then you can still die. Become promiscuous, you can contract a disease, and it can lead to all kinds of issues. So, I mean, the self-indulgent mentality is nothing new. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want anyone to tell me otherwise. Seriously, that is nothing new. And I really like thinking about it in this light, that you're telling me something, like people haven't been doing that for, since the dawn of humanity, pretty much. I mean, Adam and Eve screwed it up. Hey, look at this apple. Hey, that snake over there said it's good and I want it, so I'm going to eat it. Well, thanks a lot. So when Jesus comes along, Jesus is born into the world amid scandal and into a death sentence, and all of a sudden is saying, now stop. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. And he's not talking about love, the emotion. Just like I mentioned before, peace is not an emotion. It's a deeper sense of being. Love is not just an emotion. Sure, I mean, there are times when especially, young people talk about young love. It's very emotional, very intense, and there's something to that. And love, a deeper sense of love with a married couple who's been married for 30 years, the emotional state might be different, but they still have an emotional sense of love. But love, what Jesus is talking about, is a desire for the good of the other, their ultimate good. Now, what's the best good that can happen to someone? That they develop an awesome relationship with Jesus Christ, and they go to heaven, desiring that good for the person. So you can love your enemy and not accept what he does. I mean, if your enemy is trying to kill you, you should not let that happen, but still love your enemy and that you desire their good. I mean, I think that's where we get mixed up, because nowadays love is just this, again, it's a feel-good thing. Oh, I totally love you, dude. And it turns into something cheap, shallow, and nowhere even close to what it should be. Desiring the good of the other. I can love Barack Obama in this way, in desiring that he converts and finds the peace of Christ and decides to stop doing with the completely anti-Christian policies that he's enacting. That doesn't mean we should stop resisting what he's doing. If someone is performing the actions of evil, we must resist and do all we can to prevent that person from doing them. But we can still pray for their salvation. I can still pray that Barack Hussein Obama goes to heaven and can repent of his sins. Heck, I mean, it's easy to point that out. I'm still a sinner too, and I need to go to confession every week. just to try to keep treading water. I mean, we're all sinners, and we all need salvation. But someone in a position of power definitely needs more prayer and more support, because the temptation for evil, I'd say, is very, very high at that level. Power corrupts. Maybe that's why Jesus was born so humbly, so that they can see that greatness is not in the trappings, and it's not in the rule over others. Greatness is in reducing yourself to nothing and serving others. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He died for them. He gave up his life. Gave up his life for us. So maybe that's what the message to our leader should be. The greater you want to become, the less you should make yourself. And it's in that paradox that God demonstrated through his birth. I think that's a really strong foundation for life. If any call to greatness is a sign of God maybe wanting to elevate us, but God has never called a proud person. He always calls the humble, the worst people. You look at the Bible, Moses was a wanted murderer in Egypt, and he had a speech impediment. I mean, but God called him, a convicted criminal, to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. Jesus, what did he do? He didn't go hang out with the elite rabbis and the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. He didn't go shoot the breeze with those guys and attend cocktail hour and have elaborate parties where only the rich and famous were invited. No, he went and hung out with prostitutes. Can you imagine? That's scandalous. Jesus was born into nothing, and then he goes and he's supposedly the Messiah, is getting all these disciples, and he goes and hangs out with a bunch of tax collectors and prostitutes. Seriously, what is he doing? Doesn't he realize who these people are? They're nothing. They're the dregs of society. But he goes right to them and says, "Yo, what's going on?" He doesn't go in there and start yelling at them and saying that they're going to go to hell and all this stuff. But he calls them to a higher life. Jesus never tolerates sin, but he calls the sinner to a higher way of living. It's like Jesus coming. Imagine if he came today. He would be going to strip clubs, or he would be going into, you know, he'd be walking among the inner city streets, talking to drug dealers, you know, talking to gang members. He wouldn't be going to see, he wouldn't be going to hang out with the politicians. He wouldn't go to hang out with, you know, Lady Gaga or because of their fame and notoriety anyway. You know, he would be going to hang out with Speaker Boehner, although it'd be nice to see what Jesus would have to say to him. But, you know, it's one of those things. Jesus had a bad track record with politicians. You know, the Pharisees were the religious ruling class at that point. So they were their politicians. And Jesus publicly humiliated them. He publicly called them out on their hypocrisy. In the middle of a public square, calling them a brood of vipers, you hypocrites. Seriously. All right, now I do want Jesus to go into Congress for a little bit. That'd be kind of cool. Jesus went into a temple and whipped people. Yeah, he drove them out. Can you imagine what modern headlines would have to say about Christ, you know, driving the merchants out of the temple? Yeah, what would CNN have to say? Suppose that holy man goes and physically assaults peaceful merchants in place of worship. And then, you know, Chris Matthews would definitely not have a chill up his leg over that one. So everything Christ did was backwards and upside down with common thought, with what is what's called common sense. Christianity is the truly only alternative lifestyle. I mean, how much have we been hearing, oh, just free yourself and go do what you want to do? I mean, how many advertisements have we said, do what feels good, do what feels right, you know you want it, all kinds of stuff that just tell us to go with the base desires of our bodies and to go along with what our senses are telling us. Sure, our bodies were designed, they're gifts from God, and we can enjoy his world through our bodies in moderation. But our soul is calling for a deeper communion with Christ. Our soul is reaching out. There's an emptiness in there. And all the food, sex, drugs, gambling, whatever, can't fill that void like God can. And that's what Christ coming into the world is all about. It's him reaching out to us, God becoming man, so man can become closer to God. Again, real quick, this is the Warrior Catholic Show. If we're getting down to running out of time here, but I got time for a phone call or two if you want to call in with your Christmas thoughts or stories. The number is 718-305-7176. Definitely want to hear from you. Also, if you want to go and post a comment on either the Conservative Nation Radio Facebook page, it's also on Twitter. The Warrior Catholic Show has a Facebook page. We're working to build an awesome website for everything and to put it all together, but I believe that's launching after the new year. But please post your comments, your thoughts. I want to hear from you. Again, time for a couple calls here, 718-305-7176. So yes, Christianity and the Catholic Church established by Jesus Christ is the truly alternative lifestyle. All this other stuff is just the same thing rehashed from thousands of years. And I'm really comforted by that perspective. I mean, because Christianity, in a lot of ways, you know, of course, a lot of the Catholic churches that I go to, sometimes it seems like it's fallen asleep. But the radicalness of Christianity is still there. The complete, it goes against the common thought. Hearing about the history of the martyrs, how Christians were persecuted from the get-go, killed mercilessly, put to death by Saul of Tarsus even. He had tons of Christians put to death, and in shameful, gruesome, gory ways. All of that. It puts being a Christian into a different perspective. It puts it into something that, you know, wow, I'm a part of something huge here, a part of a life and death struggle for the salvation of my soul and other souls. We're in a life and death struggle of good against evil, of where the darkness cannot comprehend the light, but is trying to destroy it, always encroaching wherever it can. We Christians, as the light of Christ, we shine that light into the darkness with truth and goodness and authentic love, desiring the good of another, desiring the good for humanity, the good for our world, the ultimate good being living in God's truth, and a sense of hope in Jesus Christ. Some of these might sound like platitudes and lip service here, but, you know, getting into it, it's a great adventure being a Christian, being a Catholic, even though they're pretty same thing. It's a great wild adventure. There's tragedy. There's triumph. There is love. There is all kinds of things, and it's all unexpected. But unless we open ourselves to the graces that God offers us, then we can't. Then we're not going to be a part of it. We'll just go to church, say some prayers, maybe sing some songs, do whatever, and then go on with daily life. But the way things are now, it's not. We can't be lukewarm anymore. About to take a quick break here, but when I come back, I just want to explain a little bit about the Warrior Catholic Show and what we're doing here. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can, and I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And we're back. This is Chris Ricketts, host of the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. And this is the initial broadcast with as a member of Conservative Nation Radio. And I'm real glad to be here. And tomorrow's show on Conservative Nation Radio, you can check it out on Blog Talk Radio or on the web on Facebook. They have a Facebook page. It's Nobama Nation at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And that'll be a great show. It's a good group of people here, common set of conservative values, a common goal for the nation, giving voice to conservatism and its principles, Christianity. I guess I'm the token Catholic, but that doesn't mean anyone else is any less faithful or dedicated in their walk with Christ. So anyway, the Warrior Catholic Show, if this is the first time you're listening to the Warrior Catholic Show, at least, I just want to explain a little bit about the purpose behind why I started doing this. First of all, the title, it's not me. I'm not talking about myself. I'm the Warrior Catholic and I'm here to, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not at all. I'm talking about all Catholics. We are all called to be warriors because we are members of the Church Militant. That's right. We are the Church Militant. And if we're not fighting, then we're dying in sin. And we're losing the fight of good and evil. Yes, it is happening right now. And the reason why I started the show, it really was inspired by the mandate passed down from the Health and Human Services Department of the Obama administration. And I'll tell you, I was hopping mad. I was so mad because the government would come in and declare that the Catholic Church was going to have to violate its conscience and go against its beliefs by forcing them to provide contraception coverage and abortifacient coverage and abortion services and whatnot in healthcare providers. And as you know, there are plenty of Catholic hospitals. There are charities, there are schools and everything else that would be directly affected by this. And I was so mad. You know, here at Christmas, we have all Christmas time. We have all these atheists who love to whine and complain about the separation of church and state. Well, all these staunch defenders of that wonderful separation, so-called, of church and state were silent when it came time for the government to bully religious freedom. So that's what got me started on the Warrior Catholic Show. And I just felt called to do something, and I learned about Blog Talk Radio, and I decided to start speaking out against it. And I'm really just doing this calling all Catholics and Christians, for that matter. We need to step it up. We need to be warriors for Christ. He's the ultimate warrior. So he conquered sin. I mean, through his death, he conquered sin. So I figure we can at least stand up and follow Christ into battle, carrying our own crosses against the government, who is deciding how religion should be practiced. And, you know, to those who might not think it's a big deal, you know, well, you know, the church teaches against contraception, and I'll get into that in another show, but you know, but that's their teaching, and it, you know, the government has no right to go in there and force them to go against it. And if the government can do it to, you know, on this line, they can do it to any religion. So I mean, it's an assault against the basic principles of religious freedom, and that's everybody. Most people practice some form of religion. I mean, American is still, I think, a predominantly Christian nation, but you know, it's the government stepping in like that. So I got really mad, and I wanted to do something where I was reaching out and calling out Catholics. And the first part of being a warrior Catholic is finding that in a deeper inner conversion. It starts internally inside us, reaching out and developing a deeper relationship with Christ, with trying to understand and learn more of the teachings of the Catholic Church. Look, I'll be honest. There are some teachings of the church that are hard to understand and hard to accept as to why the heck they're talking about that in the first place. You know, some of them, abortion, contraception, the teachings on homosexuality and gay marriage. I mean, a lot of them can be hard to understand and hard to accept. But let me tell you, most people who say they don't like the church or hate the church or whatever, most of the time only hate their interpretation of it or what they think the church teaches. There are so many misconceptions of church teaching, it's not even funny. And to be a true member of the church militant, we need to understand and pray for guidance in learning and understanding those teachings that may be hard for us to swallow or hard for us to even articulate to others. You know, because how can we reach out to other people with that faith if we're not firm in it first? You know, the Pope John Paul II called us to a new evangelization, and that evangelization is aimed at fellow Catholics, those Christian nations who have heard the gospel message but haven't fully accepted or understood it. That's reaching out to fellow Christians and Catholics. You know, it's one of those things where we need sitting in, you know, you look in the pews today and people, you know, it's not there. You know, some of these churches have gone off the deep end and it seems like a sideshow almost. And it's really sad when, you know, Jesus Christ present truly in the Eucharist is getting upstaged by, you know, either the priest or some other folks that, you know, assist with the liturgy. So that's what we're doing here with the Warrior Catholic Show, reaching out to Catholics, calling on everyone to stand up for the faith. You know, and on this show I definitely talk about politics, and I've been working on aligning my political views with the teachings of the Catholic Church, which definitely has a lot more in common with conservative principles than anything the Democrat Party and liberalism has to offer. In fact, after the Democrat National Convention earlier this year, I pretty much said that I came to the conclusion that there's practically nothing in that platform that a practicing Catholic can in good conscience support. So, and I'm not trying to, that's not my own, try not to offer that as my own personal condemnation. I'm just trying to look at how it connects with church teaching, and it doesn't. So anyway, the Warrior Catholic Show will be on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Again, it might go for an hour or two, depending on what's going on, but it will always start at 7. And I'm really glad to be a part of Conservative Nation Radio. You can check them out on Facebook. You can also check out the Warrior Catholic Show on Facebook. Go click like, and I send out news, Catholic news, and also info on upcoming shows. If you want to get in touch with me personally, you can email me at warriorcatholicshow@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear suggestions, tips, comments, whatever you've got. So coming up, at least after the new year, I will continue the new evangelization series. And we will be I pre-recorded an interview with Catholic author Devin Rose, who is the author of If Protestantism Were True. It is an excellent book that really analyzes the authority, authority in interpreting scriptures. So it is an excellent, excellent read. I highly recommend it. So anyways, I wish you all again a very Merry Christmas. And I hope that, you know, you've been at least you can get some sense of peace out of this time of year. And we need to pray for what's coming up in the next 4 years. We can only imagine if the past 4 years is any indication, we're going to need to stay strong. We're going to need to set our sights on something higher than man, higher than government, set our sights on the baby infant Jesus Christ, born in obscurity, in the midst of scandal, under the threat of a death sentence. That's our King, guys, and he's awesome, and he's ready to lead us. So with that in mind, again, a Merry Christmas, and thanks for tuning in. This is Chris Ricketts, host of the Warrior Catholic Show, and I will see you next time. God bless.